Data protection has been one of the top priorities for lawmakers and regulators in China in recent years, as concerns over the commercial collection and processing of personal information have increased alongside the explosion of the country's internet economy. With other jurisdictions leading the charge in terms of developing privacy and personal information protection best practices, most notably the EU and its GDPR regime, China has had some catching up to do, but recent regulatory developments suggest that it is committed to doing so. I'm Vincent Chow, a reporter at China Law and Practice and host of the China Law Podcast, a weekly podcast exploring China's business and financial sectors from a legal perspective. With me today to discuss China's new draft personal information protection law released on October 21st is Barbara Li, head of corporate at Ruibai Law Firm in Beijing, where she spearheads the TMT and fintech practices. In this episode, Barbara and I discuss the extraterritorial reach of the proposed law, its provisions on cross-border data transfer, why the law is good news for GDPR-compliant international companies, and more. Barbara, welcome back to the China Law Podcast.
Thank you so much, Vincent. Thank you very much for having me again.
First off, can you explain what the legislative context of this new draft law is?
Yeah, sure. Vincent, this law basically is about the protection of personal data. Before this draft law, China does not have a comprehensive personal data law yet. Although the China Cybersecurity Law contains a chapter talking about the collection and use of personal data, but the provisions in that chapter are not very comprehensive. So if this new law is passed, it will become China's most comprehensive personal data law. This law lays down some very important legal principles about collection and use of data, and also set up certain new regulatory obligations and responsibilities for the businesses when they collect, use, process, transfer, or handle personal data. Once enacted, this law, together with the China Cybersecurity Law and also China's data security law, which is still in draft, so all these three laws will constitute the cornerstone of China's comprehensive legal regime for data sovereignty, for protection of personal data, and also for cybersecurity. And after this law becomes implemented, it will have a very far-reaching impact on businesses in China as well as outside China.
Right, so the cybersecurity law, that was introduced in 2016, it came into effect in 2017, and then since then we've seen this new data security law in its draft version introduced just in July, a few months ago, and now we've seen this new major comprehensive personal information protection law in its first draft version released just a few weeks ago.
Exactly, yeah. All these three laws, after they are all become effective and implemented, will go hand in hand, will constitute an entire comprehensive personal data and cybersecurity regime for China.
Right, so in the space of a few months, China has tripled the number of major laws related to data and personal information, which is certainly, you know, warrants a lot of attention from both Chinese and foreign companies. So let's go into some of the details of this new draft personal information protection law. Because we have limited time, we can focus on the key aspects of the draft law for foreign companies and multinationals. And perhaps the most obvious aspect in that regard is the extraterritorial application of the law.
Yeah, sure. So this extraterritorial reach is indeed something new to the China's data protection regime. So this draft law provides that this law will apply to data processing outside China if the data processing activity is for the purposes of providing products or services to the Chinese individuals, or for analyzing or evaluating the behaviors of Chinese individuals who are based in China. Before this law, the current regime, like the China Cybersecurity Law or other Chinese national laws, do not have such kind of extraterritorial provisions. Even though there is an industry specification which provides for certain extraterritorial application, but that industry standard or specification does not have a mandatory effect. So if this personal information protection law is enacted and implemented as currently drafted, so this law will become the first national law of China which provides for extraterritorial application for personal data protection. So definitely it will have significant impact for businesses especially for international companies which are selling products or services to China or which intended to expand their business to China market.
Okay, so listeners can go back to a previous episode with two Hogan Lovells lawyers to hear more about the industry standard that Barbara is talking about, which is the personal information security specification. But anyway, back to the issue of extraterritoriality. The key question for a lot of international companies reading this provision will be how this will be enforced. For example, if it's a multinational that does provide service to Chinese citizens or analyze Chinese data, but actually this multinational does not have an official presence in China, how exactly do you foresee the Chinese authorities enforcing this provision?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, definitely that could bring some practical difficulty for the Chinese authorities for enforcement, especially if a foreign company does not have a business presence in China. Well, this law has tried to introduce some structure for that. For example, this law includes some provisions saying that for data processors outside China, if they are going to process the data, you know, as we discussed just above, foreign data processors are required to set up agency in China or to appoint a representative in China to take the relevant responsibilities for personal data protection in China. So in case they are found not fully complied with the Chinese regulations for their data processing activities outside China, then the Chinese authorities will have the resources or will have the power to go to their agency or go to their representative, you know, to take actions. But still, details at this stage is not clear yet. So in terms of, you know, how the Chinese enforcement authorities will exercise their power in enforcing against the non-compliance activities outside China. We still expect to see the authorities will probably clarify the structure in the final draft or to issue some secondary implementation rules. But having said that, I think there is from the practical perspective, there is a possibility that the Chinese authorities may also consider putting a foreign violator on the blacklist kept by the Chinese authorities, because this draft law indeed has introduced a blacklist system, which means that if a foreign violator is found to have violated the Chinese regulations, this company may face challenges or penalties in the future if it tries to enter the China market or tries to sell products and services to the China market. So that would definitely affect the future operations for this company.
Right, so this law is still in the draft version, so it's unsure how exactly they might enforce, you know, once the law is implemented in practice. But you've at least identified two avenues here. And the first is that the law requires foreign entities to have some kind of presence in China. And the second is this blacklist that you mentioned, which seems to be the enforcement tool of choice for China at the moment. And, you know, I presume that if you're blacklisted, you will have other government agencies and departments also blacklist you in those areas that they're responsible for. In the same way that the social credit blacklists, as well as the unreliable entity list, is designed to work. So that would be very worrying as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there are the different angles and different channels for the Chinese authorities to chase after the violators, even though the violators are based outside China.
Okay, so although the new law is still in draft version, with many details still missing, we can at least see some level of alignment or some intention to align with the GDPR, which is, of course, considered international best practice by a lot of companies as well as lawyers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We have seen in this law quite a number of provisions share some commonalities with GDPR. So that's a very positive move under this law, because it brings this law to international standard, which is very much welcomed by the international business community. A very good example out of this is related to consent. For example, under this draft law, the definition of consent is very similar to GDPR, and it defines the consent as a something which must be freely given or ambiguous, and the data subject who gives the consent must be fully informed. So this is very similar to how consent is defined under the European GDPR.
So is this the strongest definition of consent under Chinese law?
Yeah, I think so. Under the China cybersecurity law, the definition of consent is not defined. So the China cybersecurity law only provides some generic and very high level requirement for consent when the data collector collects data from data subjects. And we have seen some clarification about consent in industry standards. Because the industry standard is not of a mandatory effect, and also the industry standard, there have been some different changes around among the different versions of the standard. So the research draft law provides a much more universal application standard. So definitely that will be very much helpful to businesses to apply in their business operation in terms of, you know, how they should regulate their operation to ensure that the consent will be fully complied with the legal requirement.
And you say this would be a positive development for international companies because they are already compliant or they're already familiar with the GDPR?
Yeah, exactly. Given that GDPR has been widely adopted by many international businesses, you know, a kind of a golden rule here. So for having the provisions in this law, which are similar to GDPR, definitely that will help a lot to international business, especially for those international companies who are already GDPR compliant. So they are very, very familiar with the GDPR requirements. So that will make it a lot easier for them to comply with the new law under the Chinese regime. And this kind of a structure will benefit not only international business, but also I think will benefit Chinese companies as well, especially for Chinese companies which are looking to go global. Because for those Chinese companies, they will they'll be able to have the universal standard which will apply to their Chinese operation as well as their international operation. So that will help a lot to reduce their compliance costs and also maintain a consistent compliant practice for their international operations.
Okay, so we'll come back to practical compliance advice at the end, but I do want to talk more about another key aspect for MNCs and foreign companies, which is cross-border data transfer, a hot topic since the cybersecurity law was introduced. And, you know, it's mainly because of all the lingering questions about, you know, what CII operators are, and, you know, what the criteria and the process is of the security assessment that CII operators are supposed to undergo, you know, under the cybersecurity law, should they want to export data. So we have all these questions that remain unanswered. Have we gotten any more information or updates on these key questions from this new draft law?
In terms of a cross-border transfer, yes, definitely you're right. That is a very hot topic in the industry and also among the lawmakers and regulators as well. And there lie on this stage a series of regulations have been drafted to trying to provide more clarification and guidance on cross-border data transfer. So for under this draft regulation, we have seen there are several provisions talking about cross-border data transfer. And this law also has tried to introduce some practical structures which would be very helpful for businesses and to handle the cross-border data transfer. The draft regulation touch upon CIO, the critical information infrastructure, and also cross-border data transfer. For critical information infrastructure operators and also for non-CII operators. So under the cybersecurity law, basically only the CIO, which is the critical information infrastructure operators, are required to be subject to data localization. But we have seen some new developments under this draft law that the security assessment or data localization can apply to both CIO and non-CIOs. But for those non-CIOs which are subject to the security assessment, there is the volume threshold that is for non-CIO. They are only required to the security assessment organized by China cyberspace authorities if the volume of the data process exceeds the prescribed amount by the authority. But again, the detail is not clear right now in terms of how much the volume of the data will trigger the security assessment. So I expect that is going to be further defined maybe in the final draft or by the secondary implementing rules. And and also on the other hand, for the security assessment, under this draft law, it also provides some other structures, you know, in addition to the security assessment organized by the Chinese cyberspace regulators. Actually, this draft law provides that for some assessments which do not fall into, you know, the above, like by CIO or not CIO, which exceed the volume. So for the transfer of border data, the cross-border transfer of personal data, under other categories, the assessment can be done, can be certified by a professional organization or by way of a data transfer contract. So actually, these are two structures that could be very helpful for an authority to save time. And also, it will introduce all commercially practical solution for the administration and regulation over the cross-border data transfer.
Right, so those last two avenues you mentioned are very interesting because they don't necessarily involve the government or regulators, which is somewhat of a new development, I'd say. We can see that the government is allowing parties to sort out a contract themselves or allow a professional organization to certify. And even though that it's not exactly clear what kind of professional organizations would be allowed to conduct such certification. You know, having said that, do you think that these new avenues for exporting data represent a positive and more open attitude from the authorities on this issue?
Yeah, in my personal view, I think these are new provisions, you know, provide for new avenues for cross-border data transfer definitely provide a very positive and welcome alternative. In addition to what is already provided in the cybersecurity law. This provides a more practical and commercially sensible approach for people to address the cross-border data transfer. Because before, under the cybersecurity law, if all the security assessments will have to be done by the authorities, firstly, the authorities will have a lot of have to put in a lot of time and resources for doing that, and that may not be practically possible. So now, with the new structures, with new avenues, I think that provides more resources and more different alternatives for people to handle this. So definitely, personally, I think that is a very positive or welcome move.
Right, that's something to watch out for, certainly, in the coming revisions as well as the implementing regulations. So let's move on to penalty provisions. We've already mentioned the blacklist. What about straightforward fines? What are the changes that we've seen there?
Yeah, I think the changes in relation to the penalties and to the fines are probably one of the most striking provisions in this draft law. So this draft law, you know, compared with what is provided in the current regulation, this draft law significantly increased the enforcement and the penalty amount against the non-compliance. Mm-hmm. So, for example, now under this draft law, a violating company can be subject to administrative fine up to RMB 50 million or 5% of the annual turnover of this company of the preceding year. So this has significantly increased compared with what is currently provided under the cybersecurity law. And in addition to that, the company can also be subject to civil compensation by way of civil litigation, etc. And also the individuals who are directly in charge in the company for personal data protection can also be subject to penalties such as RMB 1 million. So those are penalties and those fines significantly increased compared with what is currently provided.
Okay, so certainly a very simple but massive increase in the penalties provided. And yeah, I don't think that needs any more further discussion. But let's move on to practical advice. So firstly, for foreign companies, we've already mentioned that the proposed law requires them to set up a presence or appoint a representative in China if they don't already have a presence or a representative in China. What else should companies do that aren't explicitly stated in the law?
Yeah, for international companies, I think this law definitely will have significant implications for them. Whether they, at this stage, they have got a business presence in China or not. And for those MNCs or international companies which they have got their business operations in China already, so for their Chinese operations, given that, you know, those are Chinese operations already done by their foreign invested enterprises, like JVs or wholly foreign owned companies in China. So all those companies will need to comply with the legal requirements under this new law. And given that digital economy is becoming more and more important in China, so for many business sectors, companies are collecting lots of huge amount of personal data and business data in the day-to-day operation. And this law has introduced some very significant new regulatory and legal requirements for the company in their operation, in their collection and use and processing of data. So companies are required to analyze their products and analyze the business model and the operation to ensure that their operation is going to be fully complied with the new requirements. And they definitely need to do a gap analysis and to find the gaps. So and also consider how to rectify those gaps and then to bring the operation into fully compliance with the new laws and regulations.
And you've mentioned the fact that this closer alignment with the GDPR will be welcomed by international companies. Would you advise then, you know, would you advise them to replicate their GDPR compliance structures for China, you know, as the primary approach to comply with these new Chinese regulations?
I think definitely it is a good news that this law, because of this law, share a lot of commonalities with the GDPR. So for those MNCs, for those international companies already GDPR compliant, so they will be able to, you know, to feel more comfortable if their Chinese operation is also GDPR compliant. But having said that, we also need to bear in mind that Chinese law, even if this new law, still has its own Chinese characteristics. So which means that there are still some provisions which are different from GDPR. So it's also necessary and imperative for those MNCs, for those international companies to do the Chinese law local compliance law review to ensure that their local their operations in China is going to be fully compliant with the Chinese law. So it might be risky to just, feel comfortable to be fully compliant with GDPR without doing the Chinese review, because the Chinese regulations indeed have its own characteristics which are different from GDPR.
So for a Chinese company, would you expect them to enact changes in line with GDPR compliance structures? For example, appoint a data protection officer, which is something that originates in the GDPR. And maybe even having specialized data protection departments.
Yes. We actually have already seen that trend on the ground already, given that more and more Chinese companies are going global and they are setting up the business in Europe or in US and in other parts of the world. So they have followed the trend, like setting up the organization, internal organization, and appointing DPO to be complied with the GDPR and other requirements under other jurisdictions, in other jurisdictions. And also having this new Chinese PIPL on the horizon, I expect that more and more Chinese companies are going to follow the requirements under this new law, you know, in terms of appointing a designated privacy officer or having a very robust privacy program and documentation, and also giving proper training to their team, to the staff. So that definitely will be something I would expect. A lot of Chinese companies will follow the suit and to do that.
Right, okay. So another potential consequence of this new draft law might be that Chinese companies will be more prepared, or maybe more Chinese companies will be prepared to go global as their operations are moved towards international best practices.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think the companies actually, given that the data privacy and cybersecurity regime is changing very fast in China, so it's very important for the companies, both international companies as well as Chinese companies, to follow the regulatory development, to watch the development very closely, and also to make proper adjustment to the business operations accordingly. And also there are, in addition to the regulatory, following the regulatory development, companies can also consider some technical measures and to improve the compliance. For example, we have seen a lot of companies have already started taking technical measures, for example, using tools, using privacy tools to improve the compliance of practice, and also to quarantine the critical or sensitive data to manage the risk. So there are a whole set of regulatory, legal compliance and technical compliance measures that the companies can consider to improve their compliance structure and also to better manage and reduce the risk.
Okay, so the public consultation will last until mid-November, and I'm sure that we can expect to see this process accelerated, given how, you know, this topic is such a hot topic in China at the moment. So I think the final version shouldn't be too far away.
Exactly. Yeah. We think it's widely expected that the legislative process for this law, for this personal information protection law, as well as the data security law, will be fast-tracked, given that digital economy is a huge, covers a huge part of China's GDP. And the government has been trying very hard to regulate the space, regulate this space. So yeah, so it's very important. We expect a very important, very significant regulatory development in this space. So it's a very interesting space to watch out for.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Barbara, for your time.
Oh, thank you so much, Vincent, for having me today. It's really my pleasure to share my thoughts on this very interesting and fast-changing development. And the final words, I just want to say that it's a very interesting time to be a data lawyer in this space, because you never get bored with a lot of new laws and regulations coming out. And so I'm very happy in the future to share further developments in this space in China and also the region. And I look forward to working with you and China Law and Practice in the near future.
No, certainly. It would be great to have you back on. Well, thanks again, Barbara. And thank you for listening to the China Law Podcast, a weekly discussion of China's business and financial sectors from a legal perspective. Make sure to check out our website, chinalawandpractice.com, to keep up to date with the latest Chinese legal and business news through our in-depth analyses, including contributions from our network of leading lawyers and in-house counsel, as well as full access to a searchable database of English full translations of PRC legislation going back 33 years. Look out also for a comprehensive article coming out in the next couple of weeks on this very topic of China's data protection regime and how it compares with the data protection regimes of other countries. We'll be back next week for a roundtable special episode discussing the future of US-China business and investment on the back of the US election result. Stay tuned, and thanks again for listening.